Okay. Very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So immediately after the lunch, I don't think it's appropriate to get you all to meditate. So we'll continue with our sharing first. Then later I will give you the 1 hour of meditation. So we will continue from where we stop. Then I will explain a little bit, because we still have time until this evening. Lee Hong, you are tomorrow only leave, is it? I know. So the sharing tonight is still okay, lah. Tonight I'm sharing. Yeah. I know. Don't worry, lah. Don't worry, lah. Introduce yourself, lah. Then thank people, lah. Kamsia, the committee, don't worry, we won't force you. You only share what you want to share. Look who calls you about Chingyap, better still. Tian mi mi e ya ho. Challenging e ya ho. So Eng Bi also very keen to learn. Oh, that one tomorrow. You come tomorrow now. No problem. Okay. Anyway, we will start off with the sharing of the Heart Sutta first. Okay, I get Sui to read to us.
Page 128, paragraph 3. The other important point that one need to understand is, for the true cultivators of the way, there will come a time for them to go vegetarian, and they will know when and why. For their cultivation has reached the mind level, and they are so sensitive and so clear with their understanding that they are ready to go vegetarian. This is a good understanding. But what happens when you don't have this type of understanding? When your understanding and cultivation have not reached this level of refined compassion, then becoming vegetarians like the others has not much meaning, and it will not make you more compassionate and spiritual. It is like at a form level, you are trying to impress others outwardly that you are a vegetarian. But inwardly, your mind is still not ready and so coarse with all the cravings, selfishness, anger, hatred, jealousy, violence to harm and kill, pettiness and fear, etc. So what is happening? This is attachment to form Dharma and not cultivating the mind Dharma. At the mind level, to develop the wisdom to understand beyond form Dharma. This is like some devotees who chant to renew their 5 precepts but still break them. Outwardly, they will say, I am a Buddhist, you know, I cannot lie and steal or commit sexual misconduct. But then inwardly, are they really a Buddhist? As a true Buddhist and to be worthy of the Buddha, the minimum we should do is to be able to at least heed his advice to avoid all evil, cultivate goodness and wholesomeness and purify our mind, right? To avoid all evils, we will have to keep our 5 precepts via developing our mindfulness and heedfulness to diligently cultivate the first 2 right efforts. A. To abandon the unwholesome thoughts or mental intentions that have arisen. And B. The other right effort to prevent the unwholesome thoughts from arising. To cultivate goodness and wholesomeness, we need to cultivate the next 2 right efforts. A. To promote or arise the right thoughts, right speech and right action that are still not in you. And B. The other right effort to refine upon whatever right and wholesome mental intentions and thoughts, actions and speech that you have developed. As these 4 right efforts are cultivated at mind level, hence they are still thought-based cultivation involving effort or the thought. A better way to cultivate goodness, wholesomeness and blessings is to understand that the absence of evil is by itself already good. With this understanding, one only needs to cultivate the stability of daily mindfulness, leading to the heedfulness to constantly avoid all evil mental intention that conditions one's negativity. Then there will be no more need to use the 4 right efforts anymore. To purify our minds, we need to go beyond thought, to cultivate only mindfulness or sati, the silent mind, to see things as they are, without the interference of thoughts via its views, opinions and conditioning. This is direct seeing, which is also called the third turning cultivation, leading to the realization of bhavana maya panya, wisdom born of bhavana, or the meditative discipline. At the mind level, you can still be deluded, because you must understand that your mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief, and everything arises from the mind. So if one acts, speaks and thinks with a wicked or unwholesome mind, then suffering will follow one like the wheel that follows the hoof. So even though the mind dharma is more important than form dharma, one can still get trapped at mind level if one continues to be deluded by the aggregates of mind. When we identify via form, then we will discriminate according to what we see or perceive, like male and female, old and young, beautiful and ugly, race, nationality, etc. Like I am a Malay, Chinese and Indian, leading to racial discrimination via identification with our external physical forms or appearances. When we are able to see beyond form, all these discriminations or divisions conditioned by form dharma will cease. But then mind dharma can still arise to cause similar division and discriminations. At mind level, we still have our views, opinions, belief systems, traditions and conditionings, etc. that can still divide and cause us to argue with one another. All these divisions and discrimination can only cease when we are able to see beyond form and beyond mind or thoughts, leading to the direct seeing. With our true nature within, as that is seeing things as they are, leading to the understanding of what is suchness or tatata. The Buddha explained to us clearly how we perceive form via our mind, mental consciousness. This is the reason why the Buddha said, mind is the forerunner of all things and mind is chief. When mind arises, everything comes to be. So we can return all external forms to mind, then mind to our pure nature within to realize the truth of how creation via mental consciousness comes to be, leading to the understanding of their impermanent, non-self and empty nature. When you awaken, your form and mind will cease and your true nature within your essence will be realized as the oneness, the unconditioned and the timeless, beyond thought, beyond mind. The whole world is about suchness. Truth cannot be monopolized by any religion or anyone because truth is not your truth or my truth, for they are our own opinions of truth. Truth is whatever that can explain the way things are. So what is the truth? Truth is Dharma, or nature's laws that govern all of life and existence.
Okay, the next one I think I will share. First of all, I would like to explain the importance of this particular form Dharma, mind Dharma, and suchness Dharma. So if you are trapped in form, you cannot penetrate the truth. You cannot develop genuine wisdom. So form Dharma is mundane mind, mental consciousness. Always remember that. And they are not real. They are impermanent. They are just mental perception, images, consciousness, come and go. But they can deceive you. They can lure you. That's why if you can understand this, then you can see the unreality of form. Then you can see beyond form. Then form Dharma will not deceive you and delude you anymore. Then you can live in the world of form. You can understand that within the conditioned world, there is form. It's just like the lotus. From the filthy pond, it can rise above and flower. By itself, it's undefiled, but it can still exist within the lotus pond. So form Dharma is the same. When you understand their unreality, when they fail to have power over you, to deceive you and delude you, then you can use form Dhamma to live life, to understand life, to appreciate life, to share, to help, and do all those things. So form Dhamma is for you to use, not to trap you, not to deceive you. So ability to see form Dhamma need a lot of wisdom. You give me a minute.
Hello, Joyce. Ah, little Joyce.
Hello,
little Joyce.
Okay.
Sorry about the interruption, Joyce. Joyce called up where she just came back from India. Then now she decided that her maid was okay, her new maid, so she can go to Guiyang. But she needs us to confirm whether she can still go or not. So I need to inform Padmasri. Padmasri not here. Oh, yeah, here already. Oh, yeah, I didn't see. Sorry. So you later on 5:30. You check and see if he said don't mind the etiquette, more expensive or whatever, he don't mind. Oh, then you check and see. You check, Mr. Noble. Never mind, you check. Then you just discuss with me, then let her know, because she really want to go. Because the maid is now taken care already. Okay, thanks. So just now I was talking about form Dhamma. So now you understand. Form Dhamma can trap the living being. Without wisdom, you can be trapped. But you need to have the direct seeing, awakening, to see beyond form Dhamma. First, you have to see the unreality of form, the two aspects of dependent origination and condition arising. First aspect is every physical form that we come to perceive, the external form, they arise through condition. Without causes and condition, they cannot exist. So that shows the impermanency of form, the first aspect. Like this table, without condition, it won't arise. Even our form and mind, without our parents, without the karmic force, without the karmic nature, it cannot arise. Then when it arises, if the sustaining condition is still there, then the sustainer of it will allow you to see that form like real, continuously existing. Then the second aspect is, how do you know that form? It is through your mental consciousness, the perception of it. So this mental perception is what we call mind make, an image on your brain. So how real can it be? It's even more unreal. So externally, dependent originating condition arising already confirmed that it is impermanent. It's not a permanent unchanging entity. Then how do you know it? You know it through a mental image perception is even more unreal. Then why do you cling to it? Why do you hold on to it? How come you can be gullible to be deceived by it, thinking that it's something important, permanent? And when you do not have this understanding, you will be trapped by form Dhamma. Then after you have developed the understanding, then you can see beyond form. Means form loses its power over you. So that is the most important cultivation. When you can break through form, then you go to mind. Just like just now I shared. Most people, outwardly, they want to be spiritual. They want to like act like they are more spiritual. That's why they say they are Buddhist, they are vegetarian, they are what and what and what. But inwardly, the mind is doing the opposite thing. It doesn't really have that type of understanding and cultivation. So when you cannot understand form Dhamma, cannot see the unreality of form, you are trapped in form. Then you cannot develop further your cultivation because you will never move to mind. Where you don't understand mind is more important. Like the Buddha said, mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. That's how you have to take care of mind. If you don't take care of mind, it becomes heedless. Suffering will follow you. The law of karma will take effect. That aspect, understand it. So that you will have the ability to determine that you want to make a difference to your life. You want to go beyond that. The moment you go beyond that, you are already a very, very relatively good cultivator. Then you reach the mind. The mind also a lot of work to do. Because mind dhamma are less perceptible. They are not so gross, not so solid like form dhamma. Form dhamma is like very gross, very solid. You can see them clearly. But mind dhamma is not something that is so gross that you can see. Because it's part of consciousness. Part of mundane mind, the content of consciousness. So that one need mindfulness, need heedfulness. That's why you never understood what heedfulness is, and you can't cultivate mindfulness to stabilize it, to be ever mindful, to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha. You cannot progress when it comes to mind dhamma. Mind dhamma goes beyond thought. You need the awareness to see thought. That's why without awareness, without heedfulness, you can never see the unreality of mind dhamma. Then you cannot see beyond mind. The moment you can see beyond mind, when you see the unreality of mind dhamma, you already awaken. You can understand. Seeing beyond mind means you realize the unconditioned. You can realize the dhamma which is beyond mind, beyond thought. So second aspect of cultivation at mind level need mindfulness. That's why heedfulness. That's why Adeline received the message at Kushinara is precisely that. The Buddha's message to her is the heedless can never see the Buddha Dhamma, can never understand the Buddha. But the heedful, they will see the Buddha Dhamma and they will see the Buddha. So this is all very clear. So after you have the ability to understand the form and mind dhamma, then the third phase is to go beyond all this. Then we call it the suchness seeing, meaning you have the wisdom and the understanding to see things as they are. Yeah. So now you come back to page 130, yeah? The three level of seeing. Now I draw it differently from the earlier one. Earlier one, just a general explanation. Kan san, si san. Kan san, bu si san. Then kan san, yu si san. So now I divide it into, again, three. Yeah? The first one, kan san, si san in English is, mountains are just mountains because mundane people see using mundane mind. Mundane mind didn't have the direct seeing. They see with the words, the concept. That's why there is no real seeing. So this is naive and ignorant seeing. So no knowledge of Zen or Dhamma or of the art or skill may not be able to practice the art or skill at all, or may practice it with a naive spontaneity. So naive, non, and not doing. So this one is worldly or mundane seeing. This is conventional truth, normal mundane seeing. So you look at the rectangle below, eh? That is the correct one. Then the second type of seeing is mountain or not mountain, Kansan, Pususan. So under the instruction, because the middle one is actually an analogy from Zen. So he said, receive instruction in art, martial art or skill. Try very hard, but all effort produce clumsy, ugly result. Skill done with naive spontaneity may actually become worse. So this is using the thought, understand not? When you use the thought to do, to meditate, this is what is happened. This is what will happen. So it cannot lead to direct seeing, because you have to silence your mind. You have to develop mindfulness, heedfulness. So the rectangle down there is spiritual, direct seeing. The first one is worldly, spiritual, direct seeing. We are the silent mind leading to awakening, realizing that perception of form is consciousness, whereas its non-perception is wisdom. This one will surface. This is what Surangama Sutta's famous sentence. Then the final seeing is Kansan Yu Susan. So you go to a rectangle. This is the mastery, because up there they use the Zen analogy. So they talk about martial art, skill and all those things. So the third one is mastery or suchness seeing. So this one has gone beyond the duality. So suchness seeing, seeing things as they are after having the wisdom and can live life as a normal person again. So mastery means stop thinking. You look at the middle. Stop thinking about instruction for martial art or skill. Stop trying, but appear to practice art or skill effortlessly and spontaneously. Perfect art or skill, producing beauty and mastery. So when you are already skillful, you don't do anymore. Everything is very graceful. It's just like when the sati or mindfulness come to you, the form and mind will know. But all of a sudden, your awareness and your activity, your movement, physical activity, physical movement, or physical phenomena, that everything within your vision, your hearing, everything is in sati. That's why specific phenomena awareness. So when you reach that level, everything becomes like automatic. You are already skillful. That's why we call it mastery. At that time, the seeing is suchness seeing. You see things as they are. No right, no wrong, no duality, nothing. That's how you transcend duality. That's how you transcend the form and the mind. Then during that time, cessation can happen. Enlightenment, awakening can happen. Okay? Can follow? If cannot, you go back and read through again. Because the sharing earlier on was very good. Okay? Okay, next one, 2.2.
Page 131. Part 2, 2.1. Question 1. I used to have pain when I meditate, and now I don't have. Why? Brother Teo responds, you must investigate into it and find out for yourself. Very likely it is because you are more calm now, and your anapanasati cultivation has improved, and you are more relaxed and mindful now. This is a good sign of slight progress, but meditation is not just about cultivating calmness of mind and having peaceful experiences, leading to the so-called good meditation, and then jump for joy and cling onto it unknowingly.
That is very important. So don't be complacent, don't get trapped. It's a sign of slight progress. But don't think that when you have this means you have achieved something. No, it's just the beginning. Okay? Read on.
It is just like random thoughts that arise during meditation. Yogis dislike it and call it bad meditation, and they become unhappy. So is this meditation? When your mind still reacts to good and bad meditation. Meditation is about developing wisdom via awareness, to be at peace with all life situations, even when random thoughts arise. The yogi can still develop the wisdom out of it if the yogi knows how to develop the meditation via sati to understand how the random thoughts come to be, via inquiring, why am I not peaceful? When we come to understand that we have been heedless for so long, because we seldom train our mind to be in sati, and we are seldom heedful, then we will understand that this mind is not peaceful because of the heedless way we have been living our life. This heedless living has conditioned our habitual tendencies of ceaseless thinking and reactions to sense experiences, giving rise to the five mental hindrances, hence our lack of peace. If we just silence our mind via wisdom and not feed it with any more thought energies, like trying to focus and concentrate or do something to push away the random thoughts, then what happens? Try it and find out for yourself. You will be very surprised that the random thoughts will just slow down on their own and then become silent and still. This is a form of awakening, and wisdom will arise. Then the yogi will suddenly understand with a lot of joy that the natural state of mind before the stirring and reaction of mind is already silent and still. So the cultivation of sati or mindfulness during meditation is not about doing with the thoughts, but about understanding that the moment I am silent without thought, I am already in sati. That means you don't have to practice mindfulness or try to be mindful anymore, because the practice or the trying is by the thought. With thought so actively doing things, how can you be aware? So just silence your mind, then sati is automatically there, because sati is awareness before the thought or the knowing. It is just a pure awareness leading to the direct seeing. Sati is the silent, choiceless awareness of what is.
So this understanding is very important. When you understand this, you know how to meditate. That's why you just relax, maintain awareness. Then everything will return to its original stillness, or what they call tranquility of mind. It's just like the blockade analogy, yeah? Stirring the pool of water as it goes through. So if you don't do anything, it's like you don't go and stir the mind, or cause it to be affected. Okay, before we go to next page, I would like to make the announcement again, because just now I think quite a number of you are not back yet. So like I told you earlier on, I think Jingyap's wife, Sister Le Hong, she has requested that today we do the sharing. I told her, no problem. She said, I want to listen to other people sharing also. Then when it comes to her, she said, I got nothing to share. But I told her, you got, at least you introduce yourself. Then you get to thank people. Then you get to express how you feel when you are here. And so, these are simple. Then later on, I jokingly give her another idea. I say, if you got any secret about Jingyap, you can also tell us. Then it be added in. Exciting one or not exciting one also can tell us. So Jingyap, okay? What you say? Permission granted. Actually, spouse must have good understanding. Tian mi mi, can joke, can be loving, can have understanding. They used to say, you know, this one very important. No, you all better learn this. There are a lot of people after their life partner, their spouse pass away already, then only they regret. No. He said, when they are around, I complain a lot. I never appreciate those moments. Now he is gone. I want him to do all those things to me. Not around already. So don't wait till that moment. That's why the WhatsApp you receive a lot, people teach you, don't make that mistake. Because those who deal with all these old people who actually become very depressed after their life partner passed away, every of them, almost 100% of them, their advice is, have the understanding that when they are around, say whatever you want to say, do whatever you want to do, so that your relationship have meaning. Because when something happen, you will regret, especially the surviving one. How come so sudden? How come so fast? Then if you have Dhamma, it's easier, understand? You can tell each other, for my mind only ma, grana. So while we are still healthy, do what we like to do. Crazy thing also go and do. Why worry? Understand? Money in the bank is not your money, remember? You can pamper yourself, like Ching Giao and Li Hong. After he retired, travel non-stop. Then the friend recommend, buy good camera. See? Useful. So this is what life is all about. This is what Dhamma is about. Provided you like to travel, provided you like to have this type of life. So because you have this condition to live that type of life, so to me, after I officially retired from my engineering career, that is the best part of my life. You understand? Because for me, I used to tell my wife, during the early days, she always like, we better go travel, we better go do this, do that. I say, can. But to me, all this we try to do, it has not much meaning. Because during that time when we started working, we are very thrifty. So everything you do, like go on trip or what, you have to plan, you have to budget. So this type of trip, of course, you do go once a while. And you should go, actually. But I look at it in a bigger picture. Because to me, if I have to worry about budget, money, and all those things, then my trip will not be the one that I wish that I can have, understand? So, like that renovation to the house and all those things, I promise her I will do your kitchen first. Then I say later on, when the condition is there, because certain period, the construction industry is such boom time, the pricing all very expensive. So what happened was, I promised her to renovate the kitchen. So initially she thought I purposely don't want to go ahead. She thought I want to save money. Because the first quotation came in, 60,000+. Then I'm an engineer, you think I don't know the pricing. So I didn't even want to negotiate with the contractor. I said, it's okay, you can go. I will let you know if I got any interest. Then after that, I found another contractor. Then the price came down to 30,000+. Wow, my wife thought, count him already, half price. I said, no. Then she couldn't understand. Then later on, luckily, I got the condition to bump into one contractor who is very good and very, I don't call it cheap, very reasonable. So this guy, young and upcoming at that time, so I call him to my house. I say, you help me do the code. I guarantee you payment. Because I know this contractor, he very scared, cannot receive payment. So he said, Mr. Teo, for you, no problem. So she quote, you know the cost came out how much? 15,000+. I say, this one, can we go ahead? After that, very happy. Then he recommend me a very good carpenter. The Nyato solid wood kitchen cabinet. That's why I did that for my wife. And my wife was very happy that time. Then after that, for the house, I have to wait because I'm an engineer. So I either buy my neighbor or I have to relocate Then my children like the address there. Then my neighbor somehow or somebody bought the house without us knowing. When the neighbor went to Singapore, never informed us. So after we bought, we thought, end of the story. Then my son told me, Daddy, no condition already. Then you know what happened. After they finished the renovation, they moved in to stay, you know. Then they hold an open house, invited the neighbor. So me and my son and my wife went over. So what happened was, during that time, we had our makan, then we have our exchange discussion. Then you know what the husband and wife told me, and my son. He said, we planned 5 years to actually own this house and do the renovation. 5 years planning, and they take money from EPF. And they did it so well, renovated and very nice. So my son told me, Daddy, confirm, no more condition ready. I said, never mind. Whatever that is meant to be, will be. Then 3-4 years later, all of a sudden, I was very friendly with my neighbor. So we used to talk. And he was so tall. He's 1 head plus above my fence. I look to him. My eye is at my fence level. We're all 5'6". The fencing is about 5 feet. So 6 inches above. Then he looked at me from up down. Then we used to talk in the morning. Then got affinity. He worked in Maxis. My daughter was in Maxis. Initially, he worked in Astro. My son was in Astro. Then later on, my daughter in Maxis, he transferred to Maxis. Ananda Krishnan's company. He's an Indian, but very nice Indian. Very good couple. Then all of a sudden, he come and talk to me after 3-4 years. He said, Mr. Teo, you don't mind, huh? He said, somebody from Australia, where they study in Melbourne U, they headhunted me, he said, I'm going over first. Then later on, I may bring my wife over. Then in the meantime, I may have to rent my property out. Then somebody else will stay, he said, I hope you don't mind. I said, no problem, I said, yeah. But give me your contact, I said, just in case anything, I let you know. Wow, he said, thank you, thank you. So that was what he did. So he went. So I also don't know what will happen. Then suddenly my wife told me, our neighbor something wrong. Because the Indian neighbor told me they actually screened through the agent. The agent told them it's a couple, well-to-do, can afford the rental, will be staying. But it ended up, no couple. 3 or 4 cars in the household. And got all these young people. Not that young, I think about 20-something years old, 30 years old, mixed. Then got China lady one. Then morning sleep one. And night only go out. Then my wife start to suspect. He said, you better go and have a look with it. I said, why? He's here at night, sleep until the next morning. Morning never wake up. Afternoon only towards the later part. Then only they go out. So I checked for a few days. Then I realized that was true. Then these people, Johor played one. 3-4 car. The house is big. Got 4 rooms. 4 or 5 rooms. So I wrote him an email. I said, Mr. Ranja, we got some feedback for you. I said, your tenant is not a couple. Got 3-4 car, Johor plate one. Then got China girl, all those things. And you know what he told me? He said, is it? I will ask my father to check. He said. So he sent his father over. The father went, ding dong, ding dong. Nobody opened. He came in the morning. Then I saw the father. I said, you have to come back evening. Then evening, ding dong, ding dong. After some time only, somebody came now, like still asleep like that. Open up the gate and ask the father, what do you want? Then the father have to introduce it. This is my son's house. I am the father. I was told he ran to a couple. But how come you all are staying here? And you know how he answered? Not in English, in Malay. But now we all ma zai only. Ma zai only, you know. Wow, the father panicked. Informed the father. Then my neighbor wrote to me. He said, Mr. Teo, very sorry. I also didn't know he ended up like that. He said, I tried to call the agent and all those things. Then I tell him, I reply, I say, you don't worry. Let us resolve this amicably. How? Tell me how you will do it. How will you do it? Yeah? How will you do it? Nobody wants to try. Every time wait for answer. So I wrote to him, I say, we resolve it amicably. Why not we do it this way? You sell the house to me. Okay? Then tell me when the tenancy will end. Don't renew his tenancy. Amicable or not? Then I say about the pricing, don't worry. I will be very, very reasonable with you. I know you spend quite a lot of money on renovation and all those things. Wow, he was very happy. You know? He said, other people I won't sell. Because you want to buy, I will sell. End up like that. You know? Then I checked the market price. The range was not renovated, 450. Renovated ranges from 500 to 530. So I wrote back to him. Then I quoted the range. Then I say, if you don't mind, I would like to offer you 500,000, half a million, because you have put in quite a lot of the renovation. Then he replied me in a very nice way. You know. He said, what you have checked out is the same as what the father checked out, is it? The pricing is all correct. But I would prefer the upper range. Means he want 530. And I straight away confirmed. I said, no problem. 530, I will not negotiate anymore. But on condition, when the house is handed back, no major damage. Understand? Wow, he said, no problem. Then finally, we did it. And I told him, I want to take a loan of 80%. So our contract special, because you are so nice, so kind, I pay you upfront 20% instead of normal 10%. He was very happy. Yeah, he need the money urgently to pay down payment in Australia. He want to buy the house over there. So that time exchange rate was very favorable for him. Yeah. That time the exchange rate was 1.9 something. So now it's 2.9 something. At one time, 3.9. So because of that, it was a win-win situation. Then when he hand over the unit where the father was around, he only requests to take away one thing on it. He got two astro because he worked in astro. So he said, my father want one set. You don't mind, he take one set. I said, no problem. Actually, in my heart, I said, you take two sets also, no problem. I got one on my side. So he took one set, so I got two astro on both sides. Then after that, he decided to give me all his aircon, no, 6 units, no, his fridge. No. Then his whole renovated, the kitchen cabinet, everything, also solid wood one. Everything, lock, stock, and barrel, give to me. No. Oh, I said, thank you so much. That's how you can get it. And so then I told my son, see, meant to be, will be. Understand? Yeah? So this is a very good example. Then after that, because I can afford, by then, I already can afford, I retire 2001. So I bought the house in 2008. Then I did the renovation, and for me, very easy. I mirror image what he do, then the house is what you all see when you go to Tuesday class. That's why everything becomes so beautiful. Then what is important is, you must have this Dhamma. You must speak to people friendly so that your neighbor also will be like friendly to you. Then the condition, you don't worry. At first, it's impossible. But if it's meant to be, will be. You understand? We are nature. So it's meant to be that he sell, then he move on. He also have his good life because the wife also, I think, managed to get a job. The wife is a lecturer. And he is a very, very successful person because he personally is expert in risk management. You heard of that, huh? So list the company, banks, they like these people. They are very good at assessing your company's risk. Then your loan portfolio, or they also very good. He is specialized in that field. That's why what I want to share is a lot of things about Dhamma is not what you think. How did I come here? I'm supposed to talk about programming. How did I end up saying all this? Something to do with Lei Hong. Sharing. What did I share? Oh, couple. From there. Now I remember. No secret. So that's why I say sometimes. Then I haven't finished. After that, because I retire, I can afford a day. Then we travel. That's why I told you buy business class, go with my son, graduation, all that. Then I say now, so much better than MIT, you remember? Money not a problem. So that type of tour is a lot of meaning. And you really, really go for a tour, understand or not? Want to eat anything, my children will Google the best rating one, the comment, everything. Go. In Paris, you remember? My son. He go and he tell, which restaurant. Then not only that, later on we got spiritual trip. Then I say we cannot, because not all Kayamita can afford, understand? That's why we compromise. We get a good tour agent, Mr. Happened to be, because after the first trip we let him do, he start to understand us. Then he really take care of us. No? He actually organized it very well. He personally went and checked all the places, the hotel, like District Kuyang. He went first. No? Then he told Pamasri he has seen this. Then he gave us alternate route. So according to Pamasri from Mr. Jingyap, no need to train so hard. Well, there is an easier route. Further a bit, but very easy. PG said thank you. That's why you got good karma, good blessing, everything will happen. Then we have to understand it cannot be too expensive. That's why at first the Kuyang trip, because the air ticket was very expensive. Then Pamasuri discussed it. Then I told him, you tell Mr. Don't have to fly direct to Kuyang. We have very little flight there. Then Mr. Remember our last trip to Shangri-La, Kunming. So he checked. The flight there is so cheap. I remember Kunming, to and fro is 900 something. Then take a train about 2 hours plus. We reach Kuyang. Then he checked. Wow, save us 1,000 plus, you know, each person. That's why we have to think for Kayamita. We cannot just because we can afford, everybody go business class. Where can? Cannot. You have to be sensitive. Then even though we have all those reasonable pricing, but you can ask them all. The hotel are very good. The food are very good. Understand? So this is what blessing is all about. Understanding is all about. So when we have all this, you really live the Dhamma way. The Dhamma has become a part of your understanding. So it has become a part of you and you can apply it. Then your life become very beautiful. So hope with this sharing, you will have more confidence to develop the awakening. And I have given you all the pure wish is whether you really diligent or not, have faith or not. So it's up to you all. Sadhu. You all actually have all the parami and condition and the pure wish all given already. Is whether you really have the belief and faith to move or not. And a lot of you will awaken, I tell you. Not difficult. Okay? You want to rejoice one more time? Okay. Sometimes they say draw the art, draw until wak chut chong, so still don't know how to take the hint. Okay, so we continue.
Page 132, the 39 Heart Sutra class. Part 1, no notes. Part 2, 2.1, question 1. Brother Teo, the sutta said Buddha became enlightened through self-realization. Then why is it also mentioned in the first sermon that the Buddha himself also had to go through the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths to become enlightened? Brother Teo replied, the Buddha had already cultivated for 3¾ aeons to fulfill his...
Actually, it's asaṅkhaya kappas. Asaṅkhaya kappas is like very long period. So it's about aeon. One aeon like that.
Okay. To fulfill his 10 perfections cultivation prior to his full enlightenment in India 2600 plus years ago. So the Buddha was already a bodhisattva then, and he had cultivated the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths before. What happened was, when he became fully enlightened under the Bodhi tree, he inherited all his past perfections and cultivation. Hence, he knew the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths are very important. In the first sermon, the Buddha's opening statement is to advise the five ascetics to avoid the two extremes of sensual indulgence and self-mortification via following the middle path, which is the Noble Eightfold Path, as proclaimed by him. The deeper meaning of the middle path is to transcend all dualities. In the early days, when I was cultivating the Buddha Dhamma, I didn't really know about these three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, but I was indeed very lucky because I met a Thailand monk, Pra Ajahn Yantra Amaro Bhikkhu, in 1988, and it was he who constantly, not less than 6 times, advised me to contemplate all the Dhammas spoken by the Buddha until they became very, very clear. I didn't know that this was the second turning of the Four Noble Truths until much later. He also emphasized a lot on the importance of cultivating the daily mindfulness. Because of my very strong sadha and faith in Ajahn Yantra and the Triple Gems, I cultivated this Dhamma contemplation or the second turning wisdom and the daily mindfulness a lot. And my understanding of the Buddha Dhamma started to stabilize, and my progress along the path of Dhamma became very smooth and fast. It was only in the year 2004 when I was invited by a sister in the Dhamma to share the Dhamma that arises the condition for me to really look at the first sermon sutta. I remember it was at Section 17, Selangor Vipassana Society. When she asked me what topic I wanted to start off with, I then saw a framed photo of the Buddha giving the first sermon to the five ascetics on the wall. So I said to her, since the Buddha started with that, I would also start with the first sermon sutta. I then asked her for a copy of the sutta, which she so kindly gave to me. It was a Thai chanting book, and the moment I read the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, straight away I could link my cultivation to it, and there was so much joy. I suddenly understood its meaning and how the three turnings correspond to the three types of wisdom that the Buddha talked about in the sutta. I had developed my own cultivation following the three turnings without knowing that they were the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths. 2.2, question 2. According to Brother Teo, our mind can only do one thing at a time. But in my meditation, how come I could be aware of my in and out breath and simultaneously I could be aware of a lot of other things, like my other thoughts, perceptions, and bodily sensation, etc.? Why is it so? Brother Teo replied, this is a very good question. You see, when your anapanasati has stabilized, your awareness will enable you to do that because mindfulness of your in and out breath will help you anchor your awareness there. With that awareness, silent mind with inner awareness of the breath, you can definitely be aware of your thoughts, perceptions, and bodily sensations or tactile consciousness, because every time when you are aware, you are not thinking. So this awareness of all your other mental activities like perception, tactile, and thought consciousness are actually all separate entities, but because your mind can move so fast, it is as if you can multitask them, as if they are all happening simultaneously. When you are aware of the breath, there is no thought. That is mind and breath as one. But the moment you start to arise a perception of what you have perceived, your mental aggregate of sanya has arisen. So it is a separate entity. Then what do? Chances are, you will deludedly react or grasp onto it via your views and opinions, unless you have wisdom or yoniso manasikara at the moment of sense experience. Your feeling will be conditioned into craving of likes and dislikes almost immediately. With wisdom, mindfulness and heedfulness, you can be aware of thought and its content. You can be aware at the moment of perception, feeling and consciousness, etc. But the moment you are lost in thought or preoccupied with what you perceive, then your mind is no longer aware and you have become heedless. The mind that is aware is always silent. Hence, the moment you are aware again, you don't perceive or think anymore. The mind with silent inner awareness is actually the oneness nature that can take in the entire phenomenal world outside. 2.3. Question 3. During my meditation, I was more aware and I was able to sense the cooking smell from behind the kitchen as if it is just right in front of my nose. Why? Brother Teo replied, when your mind is truly silent and you are aware, then this is possible because the smell is just the smell consciousness. The smell can travel to your nose because you are more sensitive when the mind is silent and not preoccupied with any thinking or distracted by any worry or anxiety. If it is a vibration like a very distant sound, you can also be aware of it, and the vibration, hearing consciousness, is very clear and sort of magnified. The silent mind in awareness pervades the entire oneness. Meditation is not about inquiry. How come the mind is like that? Meditation is about developing the wisdom to understand clearly the universal laws that govern life and existence, and to understand how you function as a human being, and what this so-called human being is all about. It is also to understand how the mind works and functions, thereby understanding clearly the 12 links or law of dependent origination as taught by the Buddha. The Dharma or truth is everywhere, but why can't you see? If only your mind is silent, you will be aware, then you can see. It is as if all of a sudden you can awaken to it. Hearing the truth, contemplating and reflecting upon it can bring about a lot of joy. Wisdom is not a rigid knowledge. It must be awakened to. Thought is created via a focusing of the perceived with its content of consciousness that was introduced into it. Initially, it is just spacious, pure awareness and silence. Learn to see how thought arises. When the mundane mind collapses, the pure awareness nature or supramundane mind will shine forth and it will be a lot clearer.
Yeah, very good. Thank you so much. So all these are very clear. These are very good meditative questions. But most of these people at that time, they already progressed quite well. Their awareness, their anapanasati, everything already more or less there. That's why they can ask this type of question. Okay, we will stop here. Then you can have your 1 hour meditation because now it's 2:30. 2:30. Then 3:30 we continue. At that time, the sharing will start. Leon. I won't call you first. I will call Richard first. Or Chingyap first. Or Chingyap help Lei Hong how to report. Okay, we shall off the light.